produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Hello, friends, and welcome to our new series called Unlocking Glory, where we'll be sharing with you biblical tips on how to see the glory of God unlocked in your life. I'm your host, Jamie Fitt. I'm the director of Philadelphia Tabernacle of David. Philadelphia Tabernacle of David is a ministry that exists to see the Tabernacle of David established and to see God's glory unlocked in the nations of the earth. We're so glad you're joining us today. Today is part one of a series about unlocking the glory of God in your life through the cross. My special guest is Wayland Henderson. Wayland is from Texas and leads a ministry called Greater Works Generation. I hope you enjoy this time that we had to talk with Wayland and be blessed.
The name that the Lord kind of gave us with this is Unlocking Glory. And I really believe that's kind of the theme, is we just want to do things that are going to unlock the glory of who we're created to be. And if this last year showed me anything, it was that the world needs what the church has so desperately.
So true.
And at the same time, the church is struggling with a lot of immaturity. And so my prayer is that in the spirit of Isaiah 60, that we would see sons and daughters who would arise in the midst of the deep darkness.
Come on.
And that this would be an opportunity, these times that we have together, you know, like I said, maybe about every 2 weeks-ish kind of a thing. Don't hold me to that. My schedule gets crazy sometimes, but that's what we're going to shoot for. And these can be times when I pray that this will be an opportunity to really equip and unlock the body of Christ at another dimension than it's been before, so that we can begin to answer the cry of our day. And, you know, I believe that's what we need to do. That is what the church is in the earth for. And so that's my heart. And so with that, and this is all part of the introduction of Wayland, by the way. But with that, I felt strongly that one of the first things we needed to do, and it's the first thing we're going to do here, is to just drop the plumb line of the reality that it is through the cross and it's through a lifestyle of the cross that the glory of who we are is unlocked. And, you know, I've watched, like I said, I've watched, you know, over the last year or so, and I've talked with Wayland a little bit, you know, about the burden of his heart about the crucified life and that concept and just living that out. And so I believe this is not just a message, this is the plumb line message, and this is what we're kicking this off with. And I feel like, Wayland, man, I'm so honored that you would join us and that we could do this. And I know that you're carrying this. This is not, hey, I know a guy who can preach this message. No, this is a guy who's carrying this and living it and allowing it to, change every one of your filters. And so I want us all tonight, if you're listening tonight, if you're listening after this has gone live or whatever, please, please plug in to what the voice of the Lord is saying to us right now in this hour that we desperately need to hear. And so, Wayland, I want to just thank you and turn you loose, man. Tell us what the Lord's been doing with you, and at some point I'll interject a few things, but I really want to hear from you about what the Lord's been showing you with regards to all this.
Amen. Thanks, Jamie. It's an honor and privilege to be on here with you tonight. The launching of this new dimension of your ministry, and I'm humbled that you would ask me to come on and begin to help you launch this, birth this. I think is more appropriate in the context of things I'm about to say, so that we can help assist the best that we can. You know, we don't have everything, but what we do have, we pray that it can help the body of Christ and what we are navigating through. And a little bit, Jamie, when we met, actually, which was probably around 2018, I was in the midst of, you know, you're in the midst of the Lord forming you and reforming you, but you don't really know what's happening until kind of after the fact. You think you know. You know, that's one thing I've noticed, that after 20 plus years of ministry, the one thing I know is I don't know much. You know, and you know, the first couple of years you're like, yeah, I'm good. Then it gets down the road and you're like, yeah, I don't know much at all. So out of that vein, anyway, the Lord, I was on a journey, and part of that journey, I guess, has always been something that grabbed me. Growing up in the Baptist church, the message of the Baptist church that I grew up in has always been about the blood of Jesus and the cross. Of course, there were other things that began to, as far as our Pentecostal charismatic prophetic circles, of course, those things began to expand later. But the foundation of my journey with Christ has always been about the cross of Christ and his blood and the power of his blood. But what happened a couple of years ago is, as the Lord was forming me in a personal reformation, and then he was expanding that context of what he was doing within me personally, was also what he is doing within the body of Christ. So within a 10-year window of 2010, 2020, the Lord started to speak to me about reformation. And that reformation was being formed, or should I say reformed, according to the plumb line revelation of Jesus. Yeah. And he likened it to at least one aspect was revelation, or Jeremiah 18, when the Lord tells Jeremiah, go down to the potter's house. And he says, go down to the potter's house, and I'm going to begin to show you. And Jeremiah is watching the potter begin to form the vessel of clay. He says, I believe it's verse 3. He says, go down, and I want you to see the work that's being formed on the potter's wheel. And that word work is interesting, because it speaks of workmanship, kind of like when Paul says that we are his workmanship in Ephesians 3, like we are his masterpiece. That what Jeremiah was watching in the natural was giving him a picture that it was the hand of God, who is the potter, that was forming us into his image. What image is that? It's the image of Jesus, who is the visible manifestation of the invisible God. And so anyway, that potter's wheel, that word for wheel is only used two times in the Old Testament. It's the same word. And one place it's used is as a potter's wheel, that you form a vessel. And the other place it's used is a birthing stool, when the midwives were beginning to give birth to the Hebrew babies in Egypt. So he started to show me that there is a place that he is reforming us. And he's going to begin the place of reformation. The place of reforming is also the place of birthing. So anyway, it's at that place that it says that the vessel was marred and he was going to reform it. So I understood, yes, that we are being formed into the image of Jesus. But then I began to realize there's more to this than we really talk about. Like, what does that mean? We talk about the glory of Jesus. We talk about the resurrection of Jesus. But then I started to notice these scriptures as we were coming into 2020 that I didn't notice the entire 10 years well, I didn't pay attention to them. And you would see Paul would mention things in 1 Corinthians 2, where he says, I choose to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. We know there are many different subjects that Paul wrote about. But yet Paul says, when I come to you not with excellency of speech or wisdom of men, but he's preaching out of the revelation, not just of Jesus, but he's preaching out of the revelation of the crucified Christ. And when I started to see this, I started to realize that there was more that the Lord is trying to reform us when he's talking about the plumb line revelation of Jesus. And in the beginning of last year, the Lord started to say to me, we are in the midst of a reset. In January 2020, he said, we're in the midst of reset. But when he said reset to me, it didn't mean what I hear others say. And it's not to say that it doesn't mean that. I'm just saying what he said to me. The word reset wasn't a start over. It was whatever is out of alignment. He was snapping it or resetting it back into place like a bone that was out of alignment. And that's the word actually used two places. One, in Ephesians 4, that most people are familiar with, when it talks about the fivefold ministry that he's given to some, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherd, teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. There it is, the work of the ministry, the workmanship of the body, until we all come to the full measure and the stature of the Son of God. But that word perfected, it's a Greek word that's kartetismo. And the Greeks would use this word when a bone was broken and it was out of alignment and needed to be snapped back into place. When you snap something back into alignment, if anyone's ever had a bone that's been dislocated, it's not pretty and it doesn't feel good, but it actually brings healing to the body.
Right.
So there's healing when you begin to cause what's out of alignment be brought back into place. But the interesting thing, Jamie, is it also is the same word used in Hebrews 11:3. We know Hebrews 11:1, that now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And for by it, the elders obtained a good report or good witness. Then he says, we understand that the world or the ages were framed by the word of God. That word frame actually comes from the same word for equip, kartetismo. And it's talking about a repair, but there's also a reframing of your worldview. And when the Lord said to me, reset, he says, I'm causing my body to be reset and reframed as I reintroduce myself to the body as king and judge, according to Revelation 1, so that we can repent, we can be reset and reframed and reintroduce him into the earth and represent him in the way that he should be. But as he expanded, I realized he was opening not just Revelation 1 to me. He was opening the entire book of Revelation to me. Mm. And I'm the kind of person that I've always had a heart for the book of Revelation. I wasn't one that ran from it. I dove into it, you know, and, you know, sometimes those dives are crash and burns and you start over, but you know how that goes, but I'm not going to get into that. I'm not really going to talk eschatology tonight. I'm just really going to talk about the revelation of Jesus. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. But, but it's important because the beginning of John's encounter is bringing the revelation of Jesus. And there are certain places all through the book of Revelation that begins to give you a measure of understanding on what it means when Paul says, I want to know you in the power of your resurrection and the fellowship of your suffering. Or when Paul says in Galatians 2:20 that it's no longer I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me, and this life I live by the faith in Jesus Christ. Yeah. Or the scripture I said previously in First Corinthians 2, when Paul says that I know nothing among you but Jesus Christ and him crucified. Because when you get to Revelation 4, after you see the letters that are written to the seven churches, and then John hears a voice as a trumpet, and he says, come up here. And he begins to see Revelation 4 and 5 are like two different sides to one vision of a book. It's opening up Revelation. Now, the question you have to ask yourself, what is the purpose of why he's writing? Because the church is in persecution presently, and they're being overcome with those that are being martyred for their faith. They're being overcome with the pressure of what I like to call the crisis of compromise. That either you compromise and you begin to worship the emperor who they viewed as a god, or you begin to stand and worship the one and true God and be persecuted for it. In the midst of this persecution, in the midst of this overwhelming, seeming victory that the enemy seems to be having, then the Lord gives John a vision and says, come up here. I want to show you a different perspective.
Come on.
And I realized that he was showing me a different perspective. And, you know, you see all of the worship that's going around the throne and the Father that's on the throne, the one who was, the one who is and is to come, and the angels, the elders, the cherubim, the worship of around the throne. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. All the earth is full of his glory. And then they give this worship to the Father who's on the throne. And then when the scene goes to Revelation 5, you hear this voice that's saying, who is worthy to open up the scroll that is in the hand of the Father and is closed with seven seals? And John begins to cry because he can't find anyone. They say there's no one in the earth, in heaven, in the earth, or under the earth that's worthy to open up this scroll. And here's a victory that don't weep. The voice says that the lion, catch this, of the tribe of Judah is worthy to open the scroll. Revelation verse 5. But when you look at verse 6, John doesn't describe a lion. He describes a lamb.
Yeah, come on.
A lamb. Now, does it mean that John didn't see a lion? We don't know. What's written in the book is he describes a lamb. But the victory that would come through the lion of the tribe of Judah, the seed of David, that is a military victory and conquering aspect of the coming of the Messiah that will bring the conquering expression of the king. And what most were missing at the time that Jesus walked in the earth, they were looking for a Caesar that would overcome Roman occupation. And they couldn't understand when he came as a suffering servant.
Come on, yeah.
Yep. So when you see that the victory or the power of the lion actually was released through the power of the lamb.
Come on.
And it says that there's this, the lion, the tribe of Judah, he has overcome. But then John says, I see a lamb standing in the midst of a throne, Revelation 5, 6. Oh, he's standing in the midst of the throne, and he is the one that would open the scroll. He's standing as a lamb that would have been slain. Now, imagine that the book of Revelation is an apocalyptic genre. It's full of symbolism, typology that gives you, it's meant to purge your imagination and begin to give you a 3D type of vision to bring emphasis to what he's talking about. So when you picture a lamb that's standing in the midst of the throne, you have to picture Jesus, the lamb on the cross, but he's standing in victory. But yet the verse before says the lion overcame. And Jamie, I began to be arrested by the reality that the power of the cross, or the power of the victory of the cross, the power of the lion, the power of the kingdom, was being released through the suffering servant, the power of the lamb. So people ask, so was he the lion or the lamb? He is simultaneously at the same time the lion and the lamb, because when you see him, when he is resurrected and he's walking in his glorified body, and he walks through the wall, he walks through the door, the disciples have locked themselves in, scared for their life. And Jesus walks through the door, and, you know, sees the disciples, but Thomas, you know, we call him Doubting Thomas, right?
Yeah.
Thomas, you know, Thomas said, well, I'm not going to believe until I put my hands in his side and in his piercings. Did you ever ask yourself the question, if he's in his glorified body, why does he still have his wounds?
Yeah. Come on.
There's a reason he still has his wounds, but he's in his glorified body. So we're talking about the glory, but yet he is in his glorified body, but yet you can still see his wounds. And you see Revelation 5 and 6 that the Lamb is standing, has the victor, the avenue of how the power of the Lion of Judah is released through the suffering of the Lamb. And he's standing in the midst of the throne. Mm. Now, if you look at the Old Testament, the Ark of the Covenant, where the glory cloud would begin to dwell between the wings of the cherubim, it says that the Lord would be in the cloud in between the wings of the cherubim, the Ark of the Covenant, the top of it. The top of that Ark of the Covenant is two cherubim that their wings would be facing each other, touching. And that was called the mercy seat where the blood was applied. It was also called the propitiation, where on the Day of Atonement, when the high priest would go in once a year and he would begin to put the blood of the sacrifice in between the wings of the cherubim. And that would be the place where the temple was purged so that it could be sacred space again, so God could dwell amongst his people. Yeah. That was also called the throne of God. So in heaven, where the blood of the Lamb would have been applied, you see the Lamb standing in the midst of the throne.
Come on.
And it was the same place, mind you, that when the Lord says to Moses in Exodus 25:22, meet me between the wings of the cherubim, and there I will speak with you. Now realize the Lord is inviting us. When John hears the voice, I hear a voice as a trumpet, come up here. Just as he was giving them a different perspective in a time of such persecution and confusion that was causing them to lose sight of the victory of the cross, he said, come up here so you can begin to see from a different perspective, not just so you can begin to wait till God takes you to heaven, but so that you can bring the power of that victory into earth, not as the conquering king, but as a suffering servant who begins to release the glory of the Lord, but yet still have the wounds. Oh, and that began to completely wreck me and begin to reshape me with how the kingdom is to be manifested and how the glory is to be demonstrated, not separate from the Lion, but actually separate from the Lion and the Lamb, but the power of the Lion or the power of the resurrection being manifested through the fellowship of his suffering.
Come on.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Thanks for joining us today on Unlocking Glory. We hope you were blessed by the insights you heard. If you'd like to connect further with us here at Philadelphia Tabernacle of David, you can visit our website at www.phillytod.org. That's phillytod.org.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.